Hello, mamas, and thank you for listening to Always With Me, episode 7. Today we have Summer Franks, and Summer is a devoted mother of two and a happily married wife. She quit her day job to pursue her dreams of being able to earn an income while being there for her family 100% all at the same time. After years of freelance work on the side, Summer found the opportunity to do just that by following her passion and expertise, thus founding Socially Clutch, which is specializing in social media management, web design and management, and a variety of other marketing aspects. You guys, I'm so excited for you to hear her story, as she has a fairly unique one about custody battles and losing custody of her daughter, how she was able to stay strong for her kids and stay positive for her kids. And also, after all the heartaches, she was able to find love again, even when she wasn't even looking. So I hope you guys learned something out of this, because I know I did. And here we go with Summer. Enjoy. All right, ladies. So we have Miss Summer Franks. Is that how you say it? Yes.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, and thanks so much for being on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So we'll just go straight to our questions. As you know, I've been doing this for, about three weeks now, and I have been interviewing a ton of moms and hearing so many different stories, but at the end of the day, we come to realize that all we want is somewhat of the same thing. We want to be happy and be there for our kids. So if you can tell us what your experience was like in your motherhood journey.
Well, it's been a kind of a whirlwind. I have two kids. They are 3 and 7. And was my first. Everything was great. She was the easy baby. She would sleep in her own bed. She would sleep 13 hours through the night. No problems. And I was so excited, thinking, okay, maybe all of my children will do this from here on out. Her little brother, on the other hand, would rather be in my arms or right next to me holding my face to sleep. And he wakes up every couple of hours asking for something to eat or to drink, and he's 3 and still does it now. So it's been very fun. Aside from I have two separate custody battles, which is terrible. My daughter's has been going on for 5 years, and my son's is kind of a start and stop every couple of months. When his dad gets upset, he tries to fight me again. Other than that, it's all fine. And honestly, I wouldn't change anything about motherhood. I love it. I love seeing my kids happy. And I've remarried, and he just falls right into place with our family. And it's just been the best thing.
That's awesome. So going through all that, and we'll talk about because we last spoke about parent alienation. But going through all of this, how do you handle it emotionally and keep yourself sane, really? Because I would be crazy.
I've honestly thought about that myself. I've just felt like I've had to stay strong for my kids. I don't want them to ever see me sad, upset, you know, worried about anything, because I feel like kids kind of pick up on your reactions and your feelings, and I don't want them to ever have any sort of anxiety and whatnot. I want them to just be happy and have a perfect little childhood and grow up to you know, just be successful adults in their lives. So it's more of I've just had to keep my strength and kind of, I guess, cry behind closed doors. When they're asleep, they don't really know what's going on in my mind.
Aww. Well, bless your heart. I'm praying for you. I know.
Well, thank you.
I can't imagine what that feels like. So, and I know, I have anxiety, pretty bad anxiety, actually. And I'm trying, just this year after my second one was born, I'm trying my hardest, my damnedest, really, to not, you know, portray that to my kids. Because like you said, they pick up on things very quickly, amazingly quickly.
And yes. Some things quicker than others.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, no. But yeah, I'm trying to cure, I guess you can say, or manage my anxiety. That way I don't pass it down to my kids. So
right.
So kudos to you.
Yes, thank you. And good luck to you.
Oh, thanks. It's a hard journey, but I have a husband who's like, you can do this, and you'll, you know, thankfully they're still really young, but, you know, I've just got to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's how my husband is. He's the optimist in our relationship, and I try to be, but behind, you know, everything, I'm like, no, this really is probably what's going to happen. It's going to go terribly wrong. And he's like, no, trust me. You've got this handled. Mm. You've done it this long. You've got it. So.
Bless your heart. That's my husband too. He's like, you could do this. And I'm like, no, it's going to end up this way.
Exactly.
And then when it doesn't, he's like, I told you.
Funny.
So parent alienation, explain to our guests what you mean by that and your experience by that.
Well, pretty much the textbook version of it is one parent tries to keep the other parent out of the child's life. Mm-hmm. Which ultimately is just terrible for the child. Mm-hmm. And regardless how terrible of a parent someone is, they should be involved in their lives. I mean, unless they're abusive and obviously things of that nature that are common sense.
Yeah.
But my daughter's father and I were married for all of 13 months. And we got a divorce. We were young, immature. It just wasn't the right time for us to get married. Mm-hmm. And then happened to get pregnant, which would not change anything or trade her for the world, of course. Mm-hmm. And there were some abuse allegations made around 2 years old for her, and it was against people he was with, whether it was him or who he was with. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. She was too young to actually tell us all that. And instead of the court system in our area doing what you would think they would do, mm-hmm. they took her from me and said that she was too young to be able to say anything happened to her, and said I coached her to say it. And we are now going on 5 years of a custody battle, and he has had full custody and tries to limit my access to her at any and all costs to her. Like, I miss ballet recitals, school parties, birthdays, holidays. Fortunately, though, this Christmas Eve, I was able to have her at my home for 2 hours. And my visits have been supervised to make sure I don't talk negatively about her father or his new wife, etc. And it was non-supervised. And it was the best 2 hours I've had in 5 years. And I've shown up because I'm allowed to go to school functions and stuff, but he tries to stop it. I've shown up for couple of different school parties for holidays. She's over the moon excited. She could care less that he and I are both there. She introduces us as her real mom and her real dad. She's 7, so I mean, she wants people to know that, hey, this, I do really have a mom. And he in turn goes, you know, gets teachers, principals, and everything to cause a scene, and me trying to be the bigger person and not let her see any of this and kind of hide her from it, I tell her, hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and go. I just wanted you to know I'm here, and I love you, and have a good rest of your day. I'll see you soon, you know, kind of thing. I see her 4 hours every other weekend, and that only adds up to 8 to 12 hours per month. And her dad recently told our court-ordered psychologist that he would like to restrict it even more because he doesn't want me in her life regardless of how she feels. And so it's been this very long whirlwind of back and forth, court, legal fees, you name it. We've covered it. We had a jury trial 1 year, and they wanted to know why he had custody, and the judge would not allow it to be said. And so the jury had to rule with, okay, well, he's the judge. He knows what he's doing. And it's stayed that way.
Are you, just out of curiosity, are you in a small town? Is that why?
It's smallish. Yeah. I mean, it's a very, I guess you could call it the good old boy system, where like, you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, it goes so deep that the judge was in his previous attorney's wedding as like a officiant and a groomsman. They're all friends. It's just chaos.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, because I mean,
I'm actually writing a book about this, so
it'll
be out at the end of the year.
That's amazing, and I'll make sure to link up all that stuff for our guests or our listeners. I always get those mixed up. Oh, geez. But no, I'm just wondering because it sounded like a small town kind of story, you know? Because I'm here in Vegas, and that kind of stuff always happens up, way up in the chain, you know, and I'm like,
Right.
But anyway, I mean,
there's a couple hundred thousand people here. So, I mean, it's not terribly small as opposed to where I grew up. There was like 3,000 people in our town, and this one has like 300,000, but it's still small.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry you're going through all that. That is rough. Yes.
Well, thank you. I promise it will eventually get better.
Yes.
It's just taking a long time to get there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want our guests, there we go again, our listeners to understand that, you know, there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel for you.
And oh, absolutely.
The fact that you're holding on like this is very powerful and encouraging to others. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
So like I said, on to my next question, that's funny. You're, like I just said, your strength is just amazing. What advice would you give a mom who's maybe going through the same thing with custody battles, a divorce, and et cetera, et cetera?
First and foremost, don't worry about what anyone outside of your feelings or your kids say, think, do. At the end of the day, everything is about you and your kids. That's what matters most. Mm-hmm. Who cares what the neighbor down the street thinks about your situation? Mm-hmm. You need to, like I've had to do, make sure that your kids see that you're strong and that you care and you love them and you want what's best for them. Don't let everything fall apart in front of them if mm-hmm. you can. Mm-hmm. We've made it a pact with my family, like with my mom and my grandparents and now my husband. We don't say anything about the ex's family or him or anything, especially in front of our children. And mm-hmm. if something has to be said, there's like a little code language because we don't want the kids to know anything is bad in their life because you don't want them to be ashamed or embarrassed because that's still 50% of their DNA. That is their parent. You want them to be happy and proud of both of their families. And you just have to make sure that you stay strong and take care of yourself because you have little children who depend on you mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love how, I mean, you would like to see both sides acting the same way, like having that mental thought, like, okay, we're just going to be mutual.
Right.
I think that because I've seen a lot of my friends who go through divorce and they have kids, and it breaks my heart, really. But to see them, like, I have one that they still keep a friendship, and that's so, so important for kids.
Mm-hmm.
To see when two parents are fighting in front of their children, it's like they don't realize how damaging that is. So
absolutely,
I'm glad at least you're trying to be that big person on your side of this.
And it's kind of interesting because most people, you know, they don't stay at least even amicable with their exes. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the people across the street from us in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. they just had their big family Christmas. And the husband has a child from a previous marriage, and the mother has three children from three separate relationships. And they had the husband and wife and their children, and they had all of the children's families from the in-law side. So, I mean, they had 50-something people at their house. It had to have been. And they do it for their kids.
That's amazing.
And that's just how it needs to be. And I think that the closer the family is, yeah, so your relationship didn't work out. Big mm-hmm. deal. Mm-hmm. Be there for your kids and show them that they are loved, regardless of your feelings for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish more people could see that and at least attempt to do that.
Absolutely. I do too. Like I mean, I think that as they grow up, because I've had friends who came from a divorced home and a lot of them fear marriage. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't ever want, you know, God forbid something ever happened to me and my husband. I wouldn't want my kids to feel that way. I want them to be able to find love and get married and have hope for love. Because
absolutely,
love conquers all, right?
Yes.
So tell us, speaking of love, if there's that mom who's a single mom and she feels like I'm never going to be able to find anyone again, or she feels like she has to find someone for her daughter or son, not to replace the father, but just to find love again, fill that hole in her heart, what would you say to her?
I honestly would say don't focus on finding someone else to be in your lives and your kids' lives. Focus on yourself and focus on your kids. And when the time comes, the right person will come along. Like, there's no doubt in my mind about that. I had actually vowed to my mom that after my second relationship ended, I said, I'm not looking for anyone. I'm not going to date anyone. It's going to be me and the kids.
Yeah.
And a guy that I had met years ago, and we just kind of had mutual friends, he had a failed marriage, and not even from the same area as me, which is what's odd. And he ended up in my area, living here and working here. And 6 months into us even trying a first date, we were married. Wow. And it's been the best thing that could have ever happened. And it was I gave up looking. I just was going to focus on my family, my kids, and that was what was most important. And whenever it was right, God put him in my life. And I feel that's even more true because my dad was killed when I was 3 weeks old in a car accident.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my mom never remarried. She said she would not find anyone even half as good as my dad. Mm. And she didn't look. She focused on my brother, who's 7 years older than me, and myself. Mm-hmm. And she was there for everything. Never missed anything in our lives. And still, to this day, is single.
Wow.
Because she said no one would ever be able to compare to him.
Yeah.
And now that I've gotten my husband, she said that she sees so much of my dad and my husband that she knows that this was the right thing. And my husband actually wears the wedding ring that my dad had on whenever he came home from the service from his car accident.
Wow.
So it's like, it was just kind of a match made in heaven, as crazy as it sounds, but it's just so, when you know, and don't force it, don't look for it, and it'll happen whenever it's ready to.
Absolutely. That's wow. That's amazing. And I'm so sorry about your father.
Thank you.
Oh, girl, you are strong. I know it's hard. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know it's hard to say like, oh, I'm strong in front of everybody. But then when the lights go down, the windows are closed, doors are shut. It's hard. So,
yes. And like when you sit back and think, oh, my gosh, I've been through some tough stuff, and here I am still somehow holding my head above water, at least. It's like, hey, you don't really know how strong you are until you actually have to be.
Absolutely. That's so true. And I know that a lot of my listeners could possibly be struggling with postpartum depression, and that's something that I felt like I was drowning, just keeping my head up, like you said. And to the moms who are listening today who are either going through PPD or going through a divorce, or going through a breakup, whatever you're going through, just know that your kids love you, and do it for your kids.
Absolutely.
If no one else, do it for your kids. That's
absolutely.
So, let's see. Where am I? Oh, I've got two more questions for you. So I like to ask every one of my guests on the show at the end of our conversation the same question, and that is, what is your current struggle, and what is your current joy as a mom?
Let's see. We'll do struggle first. Say the best for last. So obviously the current struggle is going to be having to fight for my daughter, having to prove that I'm a good mom that deserves to be able to be in her life. And I have to say I'm waiting very impatiently for our next court date because I feel that it's really going to go in our favor, especially given how we had Christmas Eve. So that's just my struggle, is having to wait and fight and wait and fight. It's just an ongoing pattern that hopefully will be done very soon. And then my current joy is a lot better, obviously. Just seeing the look in my kids' eyes when they look at me, it's this little look of adoration, or hearing them call me mom and tell me how much they love me a million times a day or whenever they're with me, and reaching out to hold my hand and to snuggle, and just hearing them say the word mom or mommy, that just completely makes my heart skip a beat. My kids are literally my entire life. And it's like the little quote where you see your heart on the outside of your body. That's what I see when I look at my kids, or if I talk about my kids. I could have the worst day ever and just look at a picture of my kids, or if they're home with me, see them, and it just all fades into the background, and it's like, okay, things are better now because of my kids. And so my kids are my joy.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, they should be, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. I mean, earlier in our conversation, you talked about your snuggler, your little boy, and my youngest is the same way. She curls up next to me, and she co-sleeps with us because she didn't like her crib. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, fine, I gotta sleep, so let's just sleep with us. And she'll turn around, and I love it, but she'll turn around and she will wrap her arm around me, and I'm like, oh, geez, you're never gonna get out of this bed, are you?
Last night, putting my son to bed, I'm trying to do the I'm not going to lay in your bed with you until you fall asleep anymore, because most of the time I fall asleep and then, you know, I neglect my cleaning the kitchen or neglect spending that quality time with my husband one-on-one once he goes to sleep because I'm asleep with my son the rest of the night. And so last night I'm just knelt down by his bed. We finished saying our prayers and I gave him a kiss and he reaches around my head and like pretty much puts me in a headlock and tells me, you have to stay with me, Mom. And it's like, how do you tell your child no? So I stayed for a little bit until he fell asleep. When I woke up this morning, apparently he came and got in our bed because he was holding my face with his hands in my nose to his nose, and I was falling off of the bed.
Every
night, at some point in the middle of the night, he gets in our bed. Yeah. And he wanted the big boy bed, so we got an actual twin size bed and said, here you go.
Yeah.
If you're in it with him, he's fine. If you leave the room, he's not sleeping.
Oh, man, I feel like my youngest is going to be that way.
I'm treasuring it because he's only going to be little for so long.
Exactly. You know, my husband was the same way when he was a baby. He slept with his parents. So I'm like, you know, that's just your mini-me. Mm-hmm. So
I did the same thing too, though. And honestly, like when I had sleepovers, we all slept, like we would all pile in my mom's bed because it was just my mom and my brother, and half the time he's gone with his friends. And so it was just, that's how I grew up, and it was just a normal, hey, let's just all pile in one bed.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. You know, that's sweet, though. Like you said, though, they're only little ones, and before you know it, they're going to be teenagers being like, get away.
Exactly. I dread those days.
Me too. I'm no, thank you. I've got two girls. That's my husband's like, that's two weddings. That's two proms.
Oh, no.
Oh, geez.
I feel free now.
But, oh, I know. I can't. But if you, so you're writing a book. Tell our listeners about that because that's exciting.
Well, I've thought about it for the past several years since this all began with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of written it in my head. And I'm just now getting it actually written out. Like I'm typing it up. I'm trying to spend a little bit of time every day doing so. And if I think of something to put in it when I'm out somewhere, I'll just put it in my notes in my phone and eventually it'll go into the book as well. But it's kind of from, I guess, my childhood. And then it's just kind of like touches on a couple of things in there. And then it goes into, you know, my first marriage and how that was and the pregnancy, the divorce. And then the second relationship. And I mean, it just kind of touches on everything, but it's mostly geared so people can kind of see the whole broad spectrum of, okay, this is what started my life. And now all this parent alienation and how we're getting out of it. It's like, I'm finally getting to a point where we're like digging out of the hole. And mm-hmm. I know there are so many other people. I actually follow some parent alienation Facebook groups and it's just, so it's a big problem. And most of the time, honestly, the dads are the ones who are alienated from their child. And it's not fair to them either, obviously. It's not fair to the parents or the children. But for my case, since I'm the mother being alienated, I feel like it kind of, I don't know, hits a little harder because it's like I carried this child for 9 months. We had a traumatic birth. We both, you know, were like almost dead because we, I don't know, vitals, everything just went crazy in our birth and delivery and everything. And it's like, and now I'm having to, again, fight for my child. And then there's these parents that are my age and older who just pawn their kid off on whoever to go party. And it's like, look, people, this is what your life is about. It's having your kids, taking care of them. And then, you know, you should have gotten all that out of your system prior. So, that's basically the gist of it, is mostly just kind of, I guess, bring more awareness to the whole parent alienation. And hopefully my book will help other parents, dads or moms that are going through the same or a similar situation, because I could have easily let myself get completely depressed. And, you know, I was afraid that if I got depressed and let myself get to a certain point, I wouldn't be able to get out of that point. And I knew I had to be strong to fight for my daughter, to, you know, show her that I care and I love her and that things will eventually be normal again. And then when my son came along, I was so worried that are people going to think he's a replacement child? And that's when I realized I don't need to care what other people think about what's going on in my life. He's not a replacement child. He's an addition to our family. I have that much love to give that God gave me a second child. And I feel like my son has kind of been like the light and the little extra push I needed to like fully push my strength out that I didn't realize I had. And it's like now I'm having to fight for both kids in a sense, but that's it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And I have a plan to hopefully be finished and possibly out by the summer of this year. So,
okay. Perfect. Well, I look forward to seeing that. So that's amazing. And you're going to help a lot of parents out there because it's unfortunate, but there's a lot that go through the same thing and they need a voice. Yes. So, tell us where any of the other listeners can reach you. Cause let me see. I was trying to remember. I'm trying to get my bio straight. But yeah, tell us where our listeners can find you outside of writing your book and things like that. And I'll make sure to link
it
to it.
Well, I actually have a social media and web design company. That's my business. Mm. I was tired of being away from my kids and my family and working like the whole normal real jobs, as bad as that sounds. Mm-hmm. So my husband said, do what you love. Do what you know. So I quit my day job in November and started this firm that I've done this kind of freelance for, I don't know, 8 to 10 years, and I finally went for it and made a business of it so I can be here for my family at all times whenever they need me and still bring in a good income. And that company is Socially Clutch, and I have a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and it's under the same name. Okay. And then I have a private Facebook, obviously, and it's Summer Franks. It's SommerFranks. Mm-hmm. And I'm creating a group for the book, actually, as we speak. I'm over here doing it on my phone. So people who kind of want to keep up with what's going on and know, like, dates of when it's going to be published, etc. And the book is actually called This Cannot Be My Life. And I'm also kind of, I'm not using my name when I write it because, and I'm also changing all the kids' names and everything else because I don't want my kids to go to school and say, oh my God, this is your life. I've read about this. This is terrible. So whenever the book comes out, it won't be under my name and no one will really know that it's me, hopefully.
Yeah.
So there's that.
That's amazing. Well, Summer, thank you so much for being on the show, and you're going to help a lot of moms. Of course, it was an honor to have you. So I praise you for your strength, and that's inspiring.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Whew. I hope Summer knows that I admire her strength and to go through all of that and yet to still be strong for her children. It just stands out, and I can't, you know, I think my biggest lesson here that I've taken from this conversation was that you never know what anyone else is going through. Your neighbor, your friend, or even the person at the grocery store. And, you know, I think you always think that, you know, someone may have it worse than you. So that's the thinking that I have. And it gives me, like, when I think about her story, it makes me just want to go up to that person who maybe looks sad in the grocery store or just, you know, who looks like they're struggling. And I want to go up to that person to say, hey, you will get through this. I mean, hopefully that person doesn't think I'm a creep, but I mean, hey y'all, I'm in Vegas, so I don't know, but I just want to give my love out to everyone out there. We all are struggling through something, whether that's death or losing, not being able to see your children as much as you want to. I mean, God, I can't imagine, like, for a mother to have to go through that. You birthed that child. You held that child for 9 months. And to have that taken away from you just doesn't sound right to me. But anyway, ladies or gentlemen, if you know, any dads out there are listening, I hope you got something out of this, because I know I did. And to just remember to stay strong, God has a plan for you. And yeah, we go through so much, and we always think that, you know, why is God against me? Or we are always so angry because he will put you through this pain. And just so you know that God loves you no matter what. And he took my pain into something good. And so, same goes for Summer as well. So, on the side note, if you guys are enjoying the show, we are on episode 7. Woohoo! I am so excited. And if you guys are enjoying, please, please, please leave a review or a rating on Stitcher or on iTunes. I will have the links up on our website. And just spread the love, y'all. The more you spread the love, the more that any other moms can find us and know that they are not alone. Also, I will leave Summer's, same thing for all of our guests. I will leave Summer's information on our website at alwayswithme.org. All right, you guys, whether you're listening to this today, tomorrow, a month from now, or maybe even a year from now, you have a fabulous day, and always know that I am always with you. God bless, mwah, and kisses to your baby. Bye-bye.